Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome to Webcology. Webcology is the show that takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the internet. Our guides will take you on a journey into web marketing and bring you the experts and the information so that you can further explore the web marketing world. Now, here are the hosts of Webcology, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome to Webcology on WMR.fm. It's the 16th of December, 2021. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing. And we're actually just trying to figure out what our schedule is going to be for the next 2 weeks. This might be our last show of 2021. We may be doing one on the 30th. Not sure yet. But this was a eventful as heck week. Bunches of stuff went down in the SEO community, and as it turns out, bunches of stuff are going to be going down right up until Christmas time. Google announced that the ongoing products update is going to be running all the way to Christmas. Not a creature was stirring except for all the SEOs in the house.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say about that, but
well, here's a good question. Are you worried about it, or did you get your schema right the first time?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could take that approach. I feel sorry for people who don't know, right? Like, it is always just my scenario, but at the same time, that's just, you know, with that part of me that's just like, small business owners should be able to do this sort of stuff. At the same time, as a marketer, the more like sort of complicated things get, the better. I do love that it is also forcing a lot of the CMS producers to take these things seriously.
Which means in the next generation of CMSs or content management systems or website builders, if you will, these things will be more automated and more taken care of for small business owners. But right now is most certainly a case of having search experts on your side is helpful.
Yeah. Well, and one of the parts that I think like Shopify does it well by just like notifying people. I'm sure other CMS do as well. That's just like the latest one that I was in there as well. And kudos to them. They do this aspect well, but it's all well and good to have your schema right. It's all well and good to have your feeds right. But well, I guess schema gets found through crawling. But one of the big, like, I want my products in there is through the merchant center. And you need to submit your feed. And it's just like, even if they're producing the feeds, does the average business owner know, oh, I need to create this account and I need to submit my feeds? I don't imagine that's going to be too much longer. As I say, you know, a lot of the providers, I don't know all of them. I just know that Shopify does a good job of sort of making like a one click. They've created your feed, just click this and it'll, you know, they sort of spoon feed you through the setup. But I do worry about just these like little technical hiccups that a standard business owner might not know about, which, you know, I mean, is good for marketers, but at the same time, you know, there's plenty of good things for marketers out there who know. I'd rather just sort of like, everybody should just have this default I don't like seeing these kind of technical hiccups, like the battleground for like whose products are better optimized and stuff. That's the battleground I like to live in. Not just like I happen to know a small technical thing that the everyday person doesn't. Those are the things that the sort of I hope we can get through so that they're not quite as important. But that's sort of going off the original story a little bit.
It's a good segue into the next one.
That was my plan.
Excellent. Your plan is working. Working like a charm. You saw the article that Roger Monty posted in Surgeon Journal this morning?
I'm going to assume yes, but which one are you referring to?
That's a devious plan. That's an amazing plan. You haven't even seen the article yet. That's incredible. he looked at a bunch of e-commerce platforms and their usage and adoption by different businesses out there, and basically ranked them on their popularity. So it's no surprise WooCommerce is far and away the number one e-commerce platform, and WooCommerce is like the ubiquitous WordPress platform, right?
Mm-hmm.
But coming up quickly, Shopify, right behind it, PrestaShop, Magento, Wix e-commerce, Squarespace e-commerce, BigCommerce, Shopware, Cafe 24, and Loja Intercarta. There is a major competition amongst the e-commerce platforms to offer new features, new ways to promote business or to help your business get ahead, to win your business onto their platform. So yeah, Dave, it's a matter of time, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're right. That I hadn't actually seen that story, so that is just sort of funny that I just accidentally stumbled.
Well, you know, radio is all about telepathy. That's how it works, in fact. Most listeners don't know that, but it's true. We're 2 years into the pandemic, 2 years into the, there was the e-commerce era, and then there was the hyperdrive e-commerce era mm-hmm. that we're in now. What have you seen in your practice when it comes to platforms that are becoming more and more popular?
I guess I'm in a sort of different scenario from an e-com standpoint. My answer there would be custom. Like if I'm pitching, I know that's not atypical. However, to be dealing mainly with or having experience in sort of custom builds. But I do, which has its pros and cons, right? Like as we all know. But of the major CMS, I've definitely seen over the last 2 years a much stronger migration away from WooCommerce and towards Shopify. I know one of the clients that Mary works with moved two. They have three sites. They moved two of them over there, and it's just a matter of time before they move the third. I know that's just one, but that's not the only one on my radar that's been moving across from WordPress, mostly just for the ease of administration. And as I was sort of alluding to earlier, like they have that like simple integration. That's not the only thing it's simple. It doesn't have the flexibility of sort of WordPress WooCommerce to like let somebody like you or I dive in there and really do a bunch of neat stuff. It doesn't have all that flexibility. But at the same time, if you don't know that, like how to actually do these things, it covers a lot of the core areas quite well in a very like, if you're in any battleground that isn't needing to take every possible advantage, it's making headway for a good reason. It's a strong platform.
Well, something if you're going to be using a more robust platform like say Shopify or even Volusion, BigCommerce or something like that, you want to have a developer on your side. But you should think about that. I mean, as having a really experienced store assistant, on your side.
Right.
Because I think we're running on a brick and mortar business. Used to be like just 20, 25 years ago. You had to have staff. You had to have people in that store to service people. Mm-hmm. We don't really need that anymore, but we need those people doing different tasks in your storefront. Mm-hmm. One of which is making sure it runs, making sure that new products are entered into the system properly, and that the system itself integrates with other systems that you're running. You know, today there was a short outage at Amazon Web Services. Could you imagine the domino effects that has?
Yeah.
You need people on your side who can spot, diagnose, and deal with trouble really quickly in your e-com platforms. And again, I'm telling my clients that it's expensive, certainly, but it's again, it's the cost of doing business in 2021, moving to 2022. This isn't the internet of 10 years ago. It's a little busier.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. I swear to God, I edited an article on SEO today that's going up in a blog for an agency I'm working with. Mm-hmm. And one of the lines in it was, this isn't, we read something like, this isn't your Gen Y SEO anymore. If there wasn't a special at Applebee's, man, I would hike my pants up to my chest and go tell that whippersnapper a thing or two. But it's windy outside. I'm not going to do that. But I swear, I'm not making that really happen. I swear, it made me feel so. Yeah.
But it is very true. And I think the last. Well, it really has been starting. I'm going to say 2015, but really started accelerating over the last 2 to 3 years. And I don't, not just COVID. Like, I think there's a lot of other technical sort of advancements that have assisted in the rapid acceleration of not just SEO, but marketing in general and data collection and personalization and stuff like that. So
I wouldn't say the introduction of AI, but the next level plateau of AI that we arrived at, say, 2 years ago, that has, and wherever we are now, it's moved so fast, I can't even tell you where I think we are now, because it's beyond where I think we are, I'm sure. But the acceleration in that field, I think, is what's going to be driving everything in the next decade.
Yeah, I think like to it's funny as you were talking about like where we are and how it's sort of hard to tell. I feel a bit like
an
astronaut sitting in a rocket, right? And like, you know, when it's in the early stages and on the ground because it's lifting off slowly. But at some point, you hit the point where I think we're at now, where it's like you're plastered to the back of the seat. You have no idea how high up you are, and you're not going to know until you get like up, you know, fully like, you know, up in the atmosphere or out of the atmosphere. You're not going to really get your sort of bearings again. And I think that's sort of where we are. And I don't think we'll really know where the sort of exit is or where things slow in their growth to where it's sort of like, oh, okay. We've created the singularity now like, or whatever. Right. Like, you know, we've crossed over that threshold.
Here's the first time this term has been used on our show, man, but it's going to get used again. I am sorry. You can do it first if you want, but I'm going to do it. Okay. Web 3.0. But it is. I mean, like that's what we're experiencing now. We're going this in a, and we've been talking about this often in the most confused tone of voice over the last couple of years. This transition that we feel that we're going through, it's accelerating to the point now where it's. We had Boykin on a couple of weeks ago. Well, you and Mary were on a quick mini vacation. We Jim Boykin joined us in the last 15 minutes of the show, and he was talking about how his company, the Ninjas, are going to be going to work and going to meetings from their own homes, but wearing Oculuses, so they'll all be in a virtual environment. He's recreated the old Ninja office for want of a better term, the metaverse, and he's going to have office hours again. Folks are going to show up and be creative around each other. They will just be, again, working as avatars from their own homes. That's the world we're moving to. We're just inches yet miles away from it, you know?
Well, indeed. And it's interesting because Bill Gates made a comment about that. I can't remember specifically where it was that I read it, but about a week ago about this being the future. And there was all sorts of like uproar, on the Twitter thread about it, about his statement. But I personally like it. I think it allows for sort of a collective sort of feeling, even when you can't be sitting in the same room. And COVID aside, I think one of the great things that businesses have learned from this is you can get talent really, when you don't have to hire within the same city, when you don't have to have somebody come to an office, all of a sudden the talent pool you have access to is far wider, right? There's a lot of people in the world that are outside the city you live in. And I think that has opened that door. Not saying people won't have offices. Of course they will. And many people should. But I think not just from the standpoint of we've all gotten used to working like that and there's pros and cons to it. But as well as the people we would want as clients are now used to working remotely. They're not going to feel like you're a second rate shop if you don't have an entire floor of a New York office, building, right? Like, so that I think has gone away. And so I think technologies like this are amazing enhancements to sort of add that community. And let's be honest, it's just going to be a lot of fun.
Well, just to paint the picture for listeners, well, you mightn't be judged for not having that physical two-floor Madison Avenue downtown New York space. If you can't recreate that space on the internet in the future and stock it full of really talented people, no matter where they're from, somebody else is gonna.
Yep.
And that's where we're moving. It fascinates me in one way. Borders are dead. Borders are over. The borders exist for taxation purposes, unless you're a very big company, of course.
Right.
in which case, they really exist for taxation purposes, man. For as a worker, as a worker in the digital world, I can work anywhere. I can sit anywhere. I can be part of any universe. That's a wonderful thing, but it's terrifying at the same time. But it's where we're going. And that's the move from where we are now to the much more interactive space we're going to. And all that's going to, who knows what it's going to take to get there, but it's going to be incredibly disruptive on the way. That's how it is.
Yeah.
I want to jump to another story because we've milked the hell out of that ass thing.
Awesome.
This one pissed me off. The SEO who wasn't. Did you see the story from Reddit the other day? I think Barry Schwartz put it up in Roundtable, and then it just went electric after that. This guy in Reddit, this guy, don't know who he is, but he got a big contract with one of the top three news outlets in his country. Didn't identify the country. And he's at Reddit asking people what he should do now. Literally got a few tips. He learned a few tricks, and now he wants to know how to do this job. Am I wrong to say, damn it? Or should I congratulate this guy for like the sales skills?
I mean, you have to commend those sales skills. And so I have to think, why don't you go work for like an agency in their sales department, because clearly you've nailed that one, and let some capable people do the work and actually probably make more money. Like if you can be closing deals like that, just go off and make a great living in sales. Instinctively you have to find it kind of humorous in just like a, I can't believe this sort of thing happens, especially with such large companies. You would hope they would know how to vet and ask the right questions. I don't really blame them for not. I don't know why I would expect they would, but I don't blame them for not.
You've been around long enough to see this happen a million times, but this seems to be at a much higher scale.
Yeah. I mean, we all see this. Like, we get emails probably 30 or 40 a day, right? That must work on somebody that clearly, they don't know what they're talking about, but they're pitching themselves as SEOs. Like we all get those.
Or the ones that your clients get and call you about.
Yeah, exactly. But something like this, where you're just like, you managed to get like a big thing and a lot of damage. could be done. Now, arguably, you could say doing any damage to a smaller business is actually worse because they can't recover. But the scale of this is significant. What I have to wonder, though, as well is it's a top three. So there's not many. How many of them just hired an SEO, and did anybody else at any of those three companies read this? Because there's a very good chance that's this problem just solved itself.
Absolutely.
And oddly, I do hope they do. And you know, go and find yourself an agency looking for sales, because you've got that one down. so just go off and do that and leave the SEOing to the professionals.
Completely reminded me of a character from Fallout New Vegas, the hippie at the Helios factory. He's that guy. He could have gotten a job in if you do really want to learn SEO and you're amazing at sales and all that sort of stuff, become an affiliate marketer. It's the clearest, easiest path in. You'll make some money on the side, and since it's the way you're making money, your money, you'll learn your chops really quickly. And you'll learn the value of doing business and hard work. It's good for you. As it turns out, Google don't got a problem with affiliate links. I never thought they would have a problem with them, but there was, for a while, people said you had to put a nofollow on affiliate links, or you wouldn't get any loving from Google. As it turns out, it's not a problem.
Now, that said,
did you ever?
If I can suggest for our listening audience here, if you are creating affiliate sites, you probably would prefer to rank better than them. So you might want to drop that nofollow on there anyway, so that you're not passing off your own page rank to somebody you're probably competing with for the terms that they're targeting on the same page as you are, right? Like, your page is about book X that you're trying to sell. You probably don't want to pass that weight on to an Amazon listing or the author's page on that book.
Mm-hmm. That is true. Did you ever use nofollows in with your pages, or was that earlier than the nofollow era?
Yeah, I didn't use nofollows, but I used some. Well, okay, we all know that, like, back in the early 2000s, Dave did some affiliate marketing that was maybe not completely above board. Yeah, there were all sorts of, like, scripts and redirects and like robots directives in there to, like, triple hide links. It was a case, like, I had enough domains burnt to the ground to go, I don't know that this is a thing, but if we can hide it, then we should. So yeah, I didn't use, I don't remember. Yeah, I don't think I ever used the nofollow. I don't think it was, like, a big thing yet, but yeah, I did. I basically tried to do the same thing.
Well, if you have affiliate links out there and they don't have a nofollow applied to them, you're probably not going to get burned. You might be passing juice off to somebody else, but you ain't getting in trouble for it. Not that that really matters, according to a weird response from John Mueller to a question asked the other day. Technically, you know, the way, technically, he's absolutely right. Just like you don't technically need water to swim in, you can swim in quicksand. When I was younger, I was led to believe we'd be doing a lot more of that, but we're not. Links aren't mandatory for ranking, according to a response to a question by John Mueller. Again, you don't necessarily need water to swim in. You know, people are going to react to that. I think he was doing it to be provocative, just for fun.
Yeah, I mean, it. One has to assume that is the case, because that is just, like, not accurate at all, right? Like, I can't remember what the person's specific example was that they had listed as sort of like a humorous, you know, sort of anecdotal tweet, but it's like, yes, I suppose not, if you're looking up, and it was just some, like, you know, Nigritude Ultramarine with a headache on, like, you know, a platform or something like that, right? Like, where these aren't your queries. Like, yeah, if that's what you're looking for, hey, no problem. You know, and you can rank for it, but
if you want to rank for something competitive like Blue Widgets, you better have some links and strong anchor text behind it.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it's such an overwhelming signal. And I'm not saying that it's the dominant signal by any stretch, backlinks. You know, it certainly used to be. I don't believe it is anymore. But it is such a strong signal that if you're up against anybody for anything competitive who has any foundational SEO in place on the on-site, if they have good links, you need good links, right? Like, that's just – so, yeah, I think – if nothing else, I don't know. Maybe he just likes to stir the pot and make us all, like, sort of talk about links again. But you would think Google, he'd be like, we need to get them to stop talking about links.
I think he and Gary Ives have a bet going with each other to see who could, like, stir up the most SEOs in, like, the shortest amount of time possible with the shortest number of words.
Yeah, he could have answered, but I guess he went with nope, which is less than it depends. But I think it depends would have actually been a more accurate answer, right?
This one is four words. Links are not mandatory. That's right. Four words. Okay, so if you can get people to react this much with less than four words, and I guess no's pretty good, but you got to be more specific for it to really count, right? Yeah. Seriously. But yeah, so links are mandatory. Well, links aren't mandatory. No, you don't absolutely need them. Like, you could have extraordinary content that is just absolutely so much better, or you could be the only BMW auto company in the world. But those are exceptions to hard rules. But you might have a whole bunch of links. You might do the best link building program in the world and optimize your site, your titles all right, and schema down, and you might be submitting your site properly. And do a whole bunch of stuff, and you won't know what did or didn't move the needle for you. According to Google, that's pretty hard to tell what is responsible for SEO success and what is not responsible for ranking success. Again, another one of those statements that make you go, what the worst? I'm not so sure.
I mean, obviously it is true because they keep throwing, like, updates at us and stuff like that, that always just seem to, like, coincide. I think they know my schedule or something like that. Cause they're like, hey, Dave's doing some major initiative on, like, a large scale site. Let's throw an update the next day just to screw up all of the data collection that he could possibly be doing as to the impact report on this thing. So they do make it a little difficult. In that regard. But, you know, I think it comes down to, and I want to say it was Henry Ford. I might be wrong, and I apologize if I am. But SEO does remind me of, I'm pretty sure it was Ford's quote, you know, I know that half of my marketing budget is wasted. I just don't know which half. And I think SEO is a lot like that. And it is true from what they're saying is, I know that some of the effort that I do is unnecessary. We've talked about that, just dotting the I's and crossing the T's. So if something goes wrong, you know what it's not, you know, sort of angle of things. And that is absolutely true, but we just have to go in and do it all and go, well, I made sure we had all the right schema. I made sure the content was optimized well. I made sure it hit multiple user intents, and I tried to build some good links. Mm-hmm. I don't know which one made it go up two positions, but I did them all and it goes well. And a month from now, there might be an update that screws around a little bit with the weightings. So mm-hmm. you got to do it all anyway, unless you want to, like, chase the algorithm as I don't know about you, but I used to constantly do that, right? Like, it was this thing, then it was this thing. And, you know, you'd chase after whatever it was.
For what it's worth, back then there were fewer things that might actually move the needle, and Google wasn't as good at understanding subtext or how things can connect to each other to come to a conclusion that the crap-ass content on this page doesn't really spell out, but Google's figured it out, and so Google will get the user where they need to be.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
For maximum customer engagement and retention, choose CleverTap. CleverTap is a leading customer engagement and retention platform that helps digital brands maximize lifetime value. Over 8,000 apps around the world, including Vodafone, Star, and Sony, trust CleverTap to improve user engagement, boost retention, and fuel long-term revenue growth. Learn more at clevertap.com. That's clevertap.com.
Miami is more than beaches, palm trees, and fun in the sun. It's home every year to the Miami Book Fair, celebrating its 39th year of hosting authors and readers from around the world, November 13th through the 20th. Join us in downtown Miami at the Wolfson campus of Miami-Dade College. Connect with over 500 authors reading from their books in English, Spanish, French, and Creole, answering questions and signing hard copies. The 2022 edition of the Miami Book Fair welcomes everyone of all ages to come together, meet and make new friends, exchange ideas, and discover one's next favorite author. Let's explore, discover, and learn together. Featured authors will include award-winning novelists Anthony Horowitz, Ben Mesrich, Craig Johnson, Danny Shapiro, Elena Shapiro, Jimmy Attenberg, poet Sandra Cisneros, and authors writing about the trending topics of the day: Lisa Genova, Jerry Stahl, Marie Brenner, Mark Kurlansky, Samantha Cole, Stacy Schiff, Katie Tour, and many others. For more information, please visit MiamiBookFair.com. Follow the fair at Miami Book Fair and join the conversation hashtag Miami Book Fair 2022.
Right.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Gotten way better at that than it was.
Oh, they sure were, because they couldn't even tell when Dave built 10 sites, linked them all together to boost their link popularity, and then got top 10. Like, owned the top 10 for them. Like, that's how bad they were back then, right? Like, where you could just grab a term and just link multiple sites together to boost their link popularity, and away you went. They've gotten much better in their understanding of concepts as a searcher. Thank goodness. Actually, you know what? As an SEO, thank goodness as well, because, like, well, if they didn't evolve, then I'd be done. I guess I did my job. Let's, move on.
Well, I mean, heck, for you, with Google's evolution is opening whole new areas in your career path. I mean, like, you started studying machine learning shortly after we talked to Eric Enge, like 2.5-3 years ago. I remember I saw I heard the light bulb in your head go off in the middle of an interview with them. And you've been thinking machine learning and stuff ever since. And that's really cool. That's Google's evolution, like, pushing you in the direction you think you need to go in.
Yeah, and it's just a lot of fun too. So it's nice when those things happen and go inside together. So yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that because I was thinking of that just updating some sort of like Python training anyway. And I was actually thinking of that interview and just like, I had like this casual interest, but it was that one in chatting with him and then taking the course that he had referenced in that interview sort of, and started chasing it down from there.
No, I absolutely remember that moment. It was really cool. I heard the interest in your voice. I wonder why. What Eric was into at that time was fascinating.
Yeah.
But I don't believe when Google says you can't tell which SEO efforts lead to ranking success. You don't chase the algorithm. That's absurd. Like you're never going to catch the algorithm. That's like trying to catch a heroin user trying to catch their first hit. Never gonna ever happen. What you can do though is do follow the spirit of what Google is really clearly saying they want you to do. Create really good content, make sure it's super easy to find, make sure it connects together in the most logical of fashions, and give as many coherent signals without being a douchebag as possible.
I think that's how John would word it, yeah.
Well,
Gary.
Yeah, more like Gary, but... if you do that and get links, you'll do fine. really will.
Well, it's true because you're taking a very top level like, sort of view. So I think, yeah, if we go to it, what they're referring to is, can you tell which of the, I don't know, what was that number? I can't even remember who the guy was who like claimed to know all of, I think that it was 73 signals.
That was SEO Guru, but not Darren SEO Guru. That was the SEO Guru who ambushed people at the bottom of escalators at conferences.
That's right.
He was the SEO Guru.
Wrong one.
But not Darren. Darren was the one who was at the bottom of the escalator, kind of drunk, going, "Hey, how you doing?"
The one that you actually wanted to run into.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think when people are thinking, you know, can you know, they're thinking of those individual dials on whatever number of signals, right? Like I built three links with this anchor text and this happened. I did, you know, X, Y, or Z. What you're saying is if you just do the right approach, it just works. Sort of what I referred to, because I remember the first person I knew who took it was the Jill Whalen approach. just build good content that fits the user's needs and it'll work. And then, as you pointed out, sprinkle on some links.
the third pillar to this is take meticulous notes. Know what you did when you did it. In case you have to undo what you did. And B, just in case you kind of want to put two and two together and see that having done that, you move the needle in search traffic.
Right.
Here's the cool thing though, how that needle is measured is changing with different tools that Google's making available. I remember that at the beginning of our career, it was all about ranking against specific keywords. You can't even dream of trying to figure out a ranking against specific keywords now because just the personalization and regionalization and all the differentializations of search. So now I'm looking at Search Console and seeing how many impressions Google's giving, where it's giving those impressions, who's clicking on those impressions, where they are, what keyword queries they're clicking against. I mean, it's so much more complicated, but it's also becoming... before it was black and white. There was a set of rankings that everybody got. Now everybody gets whatever rankings are generated by their own actions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can't say something is ranking in the third place in Springfield, Illinois. You can say on average it's probably around third place for these queries, but we don't know.
Right.
But probably. But you can point out how traffic is acting on a page with so much more precision. So how we measure stuff is one of the critical changes that are happening now. And I'm trying desperately to make this a segue into Google 4, G4 Analytics. Because the way we were measuring stuff got all screwed up by Google when they introduced G4.
Yeah.
You wrapped your head around it yet?
No. I keep trying. Now, as a plus. I don't know if it's because they read the article or whatnot. But anyway, I did get an email, and next week, somebody from Google on the analytics team is going to jump on a call with me and actually walk me through it.
Wonderful.
So I not next week, because we won't be live next week, but the next show that we are, I'll report back as to whether do I like it more. But at the same time, and I think this is where you're going, the hookup between Search Console and GA4, which was just announced that you can. And so, folks, even if you hate GA4 as much as Dave does, I've done that linking, because eventually we'll have to have it, and it's good to just have data. So I'm hoping that they refine things. My big problem is just they don't have default reports that are as good as they do in
so here's your cool workaround. Google Data Studio. If you can combine GA4 data with Google Search Console data, yeah, it suddenly become infinitely more valuable in the Data Studio environment. If you need to get something, mix and match in there. And then for listeners who haven't played with Data Studio yet, honest to goodness, don't worry about Santa's gifts. Screw stocking stuffers. The kids will understand. Play with it all weekend long.
Yeah.
Don't go shopping. Don't worry about Walmart. Don't worry about like fighting to get the latest gift. It doesn't matter. Play with Data Studio. It's much more fun. The kids will thank you for it when you send them to college.
That's funny. I didn't know you liked it as much as I do.
I'm loving it. Oh my God. I don't, you know what? The only thing I hate about Data Studio is I didn't start using it 10 years ago, or I didn't start using it 5 years ago.
Right. Right. Yeah, I know. That was my, I'm like, oh, that's why people were talking about it. Like after I finally like was like, all right, I'll give it a kick at the can. So yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, your kids might prefer a fire truck. You know, under the tree, other than a picture.
Give them a fire hose of information instead.
Oh, you should do an ad for that. Yeah,
we just did. That'll be $5.95, Google. Or just don't content block us next time we get a big scoop on you.
There we go. Now something else, speaking of Google giving information with Search Console, or maybe Google taking away information on Search Console. I had noticed, shared it on Twitter. Some people were able to confirm. A bunch of folks, you're going to be getting a 429 error in Search Console right now. Of course, it's one of the times when I need it, but I guess I wouldn't notice it if I didn't, because I wouldn't have been trying to go there. There seems to be some error. Some people are getting it, some people aren't. And you can't access Search Console. So I don't know if this relates to this morning's issue with the New York Times, but we'll see.
Yeah, this morning Google wasn't crawling or indexing new content for a couple of hours. That seemed to have cleared itself. Maybe Google is indexing content, whether it's indexing all the content that's coming in, I don't know, but it's indexing some new content. But Search Console has been going down for now. Three people I've heard absolutely confirmed, you and two other SEOs. I was able to get in from Toronto. The two others were also on the West Coast. The weird thing was it was a 429 error, and the image that Google shows has a little text that says you've made a malformed request. Please don't do that anymore. Or please, you shouldn't make this request any longer, or something like that. And it shows the Googlebot disassembling itself, which I thought was ambiguous and confusing. It was a malform error, or malformed data or something. So was the request screwed up, or was the machine screwed up? As it turns out, 429 means it was just too many requests going in at the same time, like it was being ping flooded or something.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, we're doing something out here. I don't know what. Like,
well, just to confirm, I have Search Console open here. And it's still working. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's still worth it.
So there you go. You get some nice shiny new data, and I don't.
But more importantly, that client is getting some inexplicably cool clicks.
Now, my big hope will be that this is not a data collection issue, which I assume it's not, right? Like, as you can get it, I can't. So I assume it's just an access point connection. But I hope there isn't a hiccup with actual data collection during all of this. Wouldn't be related
actually, to... Actually, you know what? There was an outage at Amazon Web Services yesterday morning. And I don't know. I have no idea if those things are connected. But... if Google wasn't collecting information earlier this morning, there's a downage on your end on the West Coast. You know what? This is going to affect data collection somehow. If some set of servers at Google isn't firing, we'll see.
We will. I guess we'll all find out after the fact. That's all we know for now.
Distracted by email. Sorry about that.
No problem. All right. Where do you want to go now? There's so many
Log4j. The big problem that happened earlier this week. Do you remember when the web was in its infancy and somebody told you it was held together by bubblegum, baling wire, and handshake agreements? And you're like, oh, well, I don't know what that means, but okay. Right. And just went about your business and the web just worked. Well, the truth is, the web is still really just a series of agreements, handshake agreements, and protocols written by people in dank basements who were probably way too stoned to be doing that at the time, held together by baling wire and good wishes. And that was proven this week when a critical content library that was really written by two dudes years ago and continues to be maintained by these two people at their own expense. And these libraries are used by pretty much anyone who's running an Apache server. But here's the kicker. No one's been really paying these guys any money or attention to keep up with, the times. And somewhere along the line, their library was left unprotected. Hackers got in. And did I say that everybody who runs an Apache web server uses their stuff?
You did.
That's a lot of websites, which I think it worked out to be over 70% of the sites online are somehow in a position where they're vulnerable at the server host server level. The log4j issue. Google Ads Console is also down. We'll deal with that one in a second. Anyway, it makes me wonder if all of these things are somehow connected. I don't know, but log4j, I think I adequately described what the root, the essence of that problem. The web really is baling wire. Honest to goodness, this is a code library that's kept together by two programmers who are busy doing other stuff with their lives. But the big houses who've been using it for years haven't cared because there hasn't been a problem until now. Right. Baling wire, dude. It's nuts.
Darn, when there was a problem, they just put that one out in spades.
Well, the world is racing to... close these vulnerabilities. There is a article up on SEO Roundtable on what you should do if you need to bring down a website to deal with the log4j issue. To be quite honest, I haven't a clue why you might need to do that, but if you do, follow Barry's steps. He won't lead you wrong.
You know, I think pretty much for most stories, that's a pretty good.
So in things that we can more easily understand, the Google Ads Console was offline for a few hours this morning. That's interesting.
That is interesting. I know it's wow. When it rains, it pours. That one just crossed my radar as something that's happening. And I guess that's because that story went out like, I don't know, 15 minutes ago or something. So these things they don't have to be related, but there sure is a lot of correlation to it hitting the fan at Google.
I imagine they are related somehow, all hitting at the same time and causing cascading problems across Google systems. Happy week before Christmas, people who just want to get their jobs done and go about doing something else that's more important to them at the moment. welcome to the rest of your lives, it seems. Because it's like this for us every year.
I do wonder if this relates to the Log4j, which I don't know if it does, unless this is part of updates, right? Like if they're actually just having to pull servers down to like update them. And I would totally get if Google was like, we need to just be pulling stuff down and we can't give hackers a warning like when we're going to be pulling certain things down, right? Like I would get that of them just going, we can't let them know that, hey, we have to pull down like Google Ads, because then they're going to know we have vulnerabilities at Google Ads and they're going to flood in ahead of time to do it. But I don't know that it relates to that, or it could be some other upgrade of their systems. It's just having like a cascading thing. I can't see all of this just happening accidentally, like just three different areas getting hit, you know, in such similar ways.
Indeed. I had a problem getting into Gmail last night that cleared up the time I tried to get in a second time, and I thought nothing of it. It's hard to say when it's happening all at the same time. While we've been talking, I've been searching my various news wires to see if Google is saying anything. They're not. Doesn't mean that there isn't an issue that they're dealing with. Have you tried getting into Search Console again since we started talking?
I have, yeah, and it is still down. So
amazing. For what it's worth, the people who were trying to get to Google Ads Console were also getting a error. This one was a 500 error, but the Google hieroglyph, the Google image used to illustrate the error, was the same. A Google bot disassembling itself. So I think we can only be led to believe that Google is slowly committing suicide.
That's it.
And somebody should intervene. Like, quickly. I think if Yahoo is still around, it's just a short trip down the road. You may or may not still be in Sunnyvale. I know you haven't been seen for a while, but DuckDuckGo is never visible, so then they can't help. Anyway, if anybody out there sees Google at a bar or something, make sure Google gets home okay.
You know what? I think from the other companies that you've listed on there, I don't think any of them are making sure Google gets home okay.
If anyone has experience, it'll be Jeeves. Last time I saw him and the sock puppet from Pets.com were getting drunk behind a dumpster in San Jose. It was really sad, actually. Yeah. Where do you want to go from here? We're running into the Christmas cheer really quickly.
Speaking of googly issues, and this one comes from your friend and mine, Mr. Frank Watson. But covered over by another your friend and mine, Barry Schwartz. Needed to mention him at least, I don't know, 8 times in this episode, I guess. So Google Local has been updating some stuff related to how maps work and stuff like that, and doing spam cleanups and local. And Frank shared an image of it going very, very, very wrong. And so clearly it is having some issues, where in the query that he had used as an example, it was foreclosure lawyer. So we're going to be dealing with a fairly significant query, and all of the dots. Well, okay, not all of them. There's like 20 dots of businesses. Two of them that are labeled have different businesses other than Easy Short Sales. all the rest of them are the exact same company, just in different locations in the area. You can see on the left, however, like where you're actually scrolling a list, there are more of them, but it's clearly not clearing out the spam. It's helping.
No, and in fact, it looks like Easy Short Sales has managed to grab other people's listings.
Yeah.
And assume control of them. Ooh. Didn't Google just recently invite business owners to, again, take control of their own listings and said we're opening the system to make it easier and much more transparent?
Yeah.
The road to hell is paved with the best of intentions, eh?
Yeah. And you know, I can't. You know, maybe, and I'm not the right person for this, but maybe they need to find some good black hat. And see how, just like I'm sure the CIA does with hackers, right? Like, let's go and pull this person out of jail and give them a job. It's just like, okay, just find the worst of the worst and then offer them more than they're making being the worst of the worst.
Actually, I'm in a couple of European SEO firms, and I think I might know the worst of the worst when it comes to some of the black hatters in the affiliate space. And mm-hmm. They're really nice people. I mean, honestly, they're nice folks, but they're fun-loving criminals. They are. I don't think Google can afford them.
Yeah, to be honest. You might be right. And I mean, there is the big difference here between hackers and these people is this is a set of guidelines built by a company, right? Like that, they're not breaking any laws. Some of them might. I'm not going down that path, but you know, generally, black hat SEO is just you're violating Google's guidelines, and that's not good. But I don't know when you're. When you're stealing other people's listings, though, you are sort of crossing into a blurry area where that might actually be,
well,
a law broken.
You know what? You would have to go through Google's terms of service, and Google would have to give up the listing over to the business, or Google would have to themselves go after the spammers and sue them individually. Because if it either it belongs to you, the business owner, or it belongs to Google, the business owner. Don't belong to the spammer, even though they're the ones who are taking control of it.
Right.
So I think that's what it comes down to. Who does that data actually belong to? Does it belong to the search engine as a business, or does it belong to what used to be Petrov Amshin LLP, now Easy Short Sales?
Right. Something that has just happened, and we've only got a couple minutes left, so I want to make sure that we mention. I had seen on Twitter, but could not confirm, but I just got Search Console. It is now back up and running with a new skin. And I had seen that on Twitter. So I can't say much about it, except that it looks different now. Just like a new skin.
Have you gotten all the rounded corners and that sort of stuff? Is that what they've done to you?
Yeah, I got a whole bunch of rounded corners. And stuff
had that for about a week now.
Oh, okay. I didn't have that.
Don't worry about it. Nothing's changed. It just looks kinder.
Yeah. Anyway, so if you're on the West Coast, there's a good chance you can now head on over to Search Console.
That's good to know. That was actually worrisome. I got caught in what seemed like an endless Microsoft update. And it was so long that I was looking at my computer praying at it. Please work, please work, please work, please work. Because you know how that gets when like your car won't start or the computer breaks down or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's only the middle of the month now, but let's face it, this is the 16th of December. And as of tomorrow afternoon, about half the world is going to check out until the new year. Mm-hmm. And somewhere in the middle of next week, the rest of us are going to completely check out. Unless you're an SEO, of course, you'll be working Christmas mm-hmm. Day. Yes, you will.
Well, that's when they're rolling out a core update. So, yeah.
Sorry.
One more quick update. I tried to inspect the URL just to see the functionality of this new change. It didn't take. And then I refreshed the page and Search Console is down again. So.
No, well, Groundhog Day.
Yeah, might be back soon.
No, but it is really worrisome. You can't get into the environment you need to get into, and you just want to get your job done right now. Google, you bastards.
Yeah.
Okay, we are at the end of the at the end of an hour, and we may well be at the end of 2021, and it's been a difficult year. It's been a null year almost, eh? Mm-hmm. And now we're faced with a new variant of COVID with a really screwy sounding name, Omicron. But this new variant is very much more transmissible. We're entering a Christmas season when people are going to go see their families. And a lot of people, our listening audiences, are in places where people are hesitant to get vaccinated, and they themselves may not be vaccinated. You really should go get vaccinated. It's by far the best defense against COVID. And if you have been vaccinated, try to get a booster shot, a third vaccination. And if you haven't, please, for the love of everyone around you, please be careful. Wear masks, distance from people. Be really careful when you go visiting over the holiday season. But most of all, be safe. Dave, did you have any words at the end of the year? Anything you want to say to people?
Yeah, buckle up. It's going to be an interesting year ahead.
Yeah, it absolutely will. I hope we do this one right and don't have to lock our societies down again. I'm terrified of that from a business point of view. But I'm even more terrified of there being not enough people to show up to work because they're all sick.
Right.
Anyway, if we don't talk to you in a couple of weeks, happy New Year. Happy holidays. We're not going to be talking to them before Christmas. So happy Christmas, friends. Love each other. Be kind. Rank well. SEOs, drink coffee. with eggnog in it, baby. But drink lots of coffee. You're going to need it. Biggest love. And we'll talk to you next year.
The opinions expressed in this WMR.FM program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of WMR.FM. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.